Hello and welcome to the Tuesday edition of the KRFY Morning Show. This is your morning show host, Julie Calamine, and I have a special treat for listeners today. Our usual co-host is our guest today, along with another guest. I'd like to introduce, well, first, Phil Huff, Executive Director of Friends of Scotchman Peak Wilderness. And Phil, you're normally the host, but today you're the guest.
I know, I'm a little confused about what hat I'm wearing and when, but it is delightful to be on the show, sitting across the table from you in the guest slot.
That's right. Is it more relaxing, Phil? How do you feel?
It's more nerve-wracking.
Oh,
I have
no.
To answer the questions.
Remember, it's just an easy conversation. We're only here to have fun and learn and spread information to the community. Phil, you're joined today by your newest program manager, Joel Thompson. Hi, Joel. It's nice to meet you.
Hello. How are you doing?
Yeah, happy to have you here.
Well, thank you. Appreciate it.
Very good. Well, we've got a lot of interesting questions for you all, so I'm going to launch in, and I'd first like for you to tell us both about your positions and your background. Phil, yours is longer. Your background is longer and larger, so let's start with you.
Sure. I'll do the radio version here. So as most folks know, who are listening, unless they're new to town or new to the topic or the show, in my day job, I'm the executive director of the Friends of Scotchman Peaks Wilderness. And this month, January 2023, we will celebrate our 18th anniversary. Specifically, we're going to do that on January 14th. The Friends advocate for wilderness protection for the Scotchman Peaks, and we'll talk more about that as we go through. My role was being one of the founding board of directors and then the eventual executive director. And now I have the pleasure of working with a board of directors and a staff of wonderful people helping to move the project forward.
Yes, and it's been a journey, 18 years. When I moved here, I remember that you were planning the 10-year anniversary, and that was pretty exciting. I can't believe we're to 18.
I remember the 10th really well, and we're going to have to do something to top it on the 20th, I think.
I think so. That'll have to happen. Well, Joel, please tell us a bit about yourself. You're relatively new to your position and the organization, so I'd like to hear a bit about your background and what you're going to be doing for Friends of Scotchman Peaks.
Yeah, sounds good. So I am the program manager, I guess the new program manager. So, you know, I'll be in charge of our hikes, our field maintenance programs, coordinate with volunteers, our winter track programs, you know, kind of, so anything that involves kind of the public and volunteers, that's falls under my umbrella. My background, I've been in the nonprofit world for about 10 years. And prior to this, I worked with kids on the autism spectrum and getting them out into wilderness. So kind of pivoting to Friends, and it's been, you know, it's been great. It's still, you know, I feel like a lot of my job is still getting people out into wilderness. So
yes, and still lots of kids to work with. Where did you come from, Joel? Where did we transplant you from?
I'm from Portland.
Ah.
Should I say that quieter, just in case?
No. I think Portland's okay.
Okay, good.
It's not, you know, the further south we go, the more trouble we run into.
That is, I guess, true.
That's right. And how is Sandpoint treating you? Are you in Sandpoint, and how is this area treating you?
Yeah, so currently I'm in Spokane, but the you know, area is treating me great. I'm transitioning into living somewhere that has winter, so that's been fun, but also, you know, I'm like, it can stop. There's enough snow in my house now.
Well, you're about to embark on winter track, so I think you better be hoping for some more snow. Let's talk about winter tracks. That's a big part of your job, youth education.
Yeah, very big. So so for 2023, we currently have planned for 13 elementary schools in the Bonner, Lincoln, and Sanders counties to come out. Basically, you know, we plan a field trip day for the elementary school kids. And, you know, really our focus on that is to immerse the kids in the area, kind of the wonders of nature right there in their backyard. This year, we're planning on hosting about 500 elementary kids with all the, you know, the 13 different sessions that we'll be having. We work a lot with volunteers that come out. They lead sessions, you know, and kind of teach the kids about, you know, mammals. We've got hands-on. We have hides and skulls and teeth that they can, you know, play with and kind of learn about the mammals that you know, live in the area. We also do a bunch, you know, things on ecology and trees and, you know, again, just letting the kids know kind of about the biodiversity that's found in the Scotsman's. This year, we're going to be doing an orientation, program. So map and compass, you know, teach the kids a little bit of skills. So if their, you know, phone dies and that GPS is no longer working, you know, they may help their families get home. We like to do you know, how to deploy bear spray. You know, so we have a little, some test cans that they can use for that. And that's a super fun hands-on experience that they can, you know, interact with us with. And really, you know, the Winter Tracks program has a lot to do with kind of our mission statement of, you know, wilderness for generations, you know, so we feel it's super important to kind of show our love that we have for wilderness and, you know, get the kids kind of turned on to that as well.
Yeah, sure. What age are our kids? Are they coming from the elementary schools?
Yeah, so they're typically fourth and fifth graders.
That's a great age to be learning about what's going on outside. And what happens generally? Do kids run into some tracks and do they find interesting things? Are they excited? They learn about trees and everything. Tell us a little more about what happens on the actual day.
Yeah, so I mean, yeah, 100% they're going to see some tracks. I mean, I think anytime you get out in the winter, which is one of the nice things about a winter track program is, you know, you're going to see that there were some critters there doing something, you know, so part educate them on, you know, like, okay, what direction was this?
Yeah, we had a little glitch happening there. I was just wanting to hear a little bit more about what a day is like on winter tracks. They're not all at Round Lake State Park, are they?
The kids at Bonner County are.
Ah, yes.
The ones for Lincoln and Sanders counties are in different locations.
Well, very cool. And for how long do the winter hikes go on?
Winter tracks start in January and go toward the end of February at this point.
All right, very good. Well, Phil, you've been doing winter tracks for years. I mean, I remember them starting when I just moved here, and they've continued and they've had great, you've had great feedback, great success. So it's neat to hear that it's continually.
Yeah, this will be our ninth year of doing winter tracks. The program began after we did a 4-year study of rare forest carnivores with Idaho Department of Fish and Game. And during that time, we had developed a cadre of really highly motivated volunteers who were interested in the general topic of wild, rare forest carnivores, Fisher, Wolverine, Martin, Lynx. We had deployed camera bait stations then and done tracking classes to identify tracks in the snow and had, again, really an energized group of volunteers who wanted to continue to use these skills and lessons learned and continue to apply them to some of our partner schools that had come out. So we wanted to do that, and yet Fishing Game's portion of the study had ended. They collected all the data they needed, and we decided to turn it into this field trip day approach, and it's been really successful. You know, it's really served to further our general mission, which is to pass on the Scotchman Peaks as a wilderness to future generations, to our kids and grandkids. And the best way to do that is to connect the community, to build a community support base. And by reaching kids, not only are we helping to give them the natural world experience that will inform their lives later on, but they can take those experiences home to their parents and their siblings and hopefully get everyone really energized. So one of the ways we do basic community outreach is through this kind of educational stewardship work.
Yeah, it's really great, Phil, because I did not have that opportunity as a young person, but I had a family that was very interested in the natural world. And if it hadn't been for them, you know, I'm not sure when I would have gotten connected. So I just think it's great that the Scotchman can bring this to the schools and help everybody understand how great it is to be outside.
Yeah, what we have found is that for legislation to eventually succeed, congressmen, senators need to hear from their constituents. So the elected officials need to know that it's important to the local public. And our local public needs to know that the Scotchman Peaks area simply exists, that it has this wonderful wilderness potential, that the wilderness values that it brings includes these wildlife values. And so by doing the kind of experiential-based programming we do, whether it's for wildlife education or we'll talk soon about our winter hikes program, getting people out into the area, doing our trail maintenance work in the summer, again, connecting people with a little bit of sweat equity. Folks have this interest then in the connection to the landscape that eventually creates this compelling community voice that will make it politically inevitable that Congress will act.
Yeah, what a great plan. I just have my fingers crossed and I'm so in support. It's great. Well, Winter Tracks, that's a great program, but there's more. Let's move on to Winter Hikes. Joel, would you like to tell us what's happening there? I know there are quite a few scheduled.
There are. At this point, we have, looks like 17 different hikes or activities scheduled. Again, starting January into March. And, you know, they run kind of the gamut. We do real family-friendly snowshoe trips, you know, through the Ross Creek Cedars. It's a beautiful area. So if folks who are listening haven't been there, it's really a magical area to have a cedar forest right here in our backyard. We also will be doing a animal track ID hike. Julie Thurston that works with us, she's super good at that sort of thing. So again, we'll be getting out there and seeing who we're interacting in the forest with, maybe who's been there in that morning before we got out there. We also will be doing a couple hikes that we have going up Sar Peak. So again, more in the strenuous variety, you know, for those of people who are looking for a little bit more adventure, you know, hike up there, see the lookout, see the beautiful views up top there. So the goal is the top. The reality may not be. It just depends on the day and the crowd. And, you know, so, but we're super excited about that. We're going to be doing a couple up Star Peak.
Boy, I would say that runs the gamut from flat Ross Creek Cedars to Star Peak. Wow.
You know, we want to be inclusive, right? You know, along those lines, we also will be doing a couple of ice fishing outings for kids. That's going to be over in Sanders County. So, you know, discover the joy of being super cold, looking for fish, I guess. So I'm looking forward. I've never done that before. So I'm looking forward to helping out on that one. And then we do have the snow moon for the full moon in February. We are planning a hike for that night as well. So fingers crossed, we'll have a clear night so that we can see the full moon and get up and enjoy that one as well.
Yeah, where might that be? And good luck on the clear night in February.
Yeah, that's going to be at the, I'm not pretty sure, my pronunciation on some of these words in the area are not awesome, but the Kinnexu Land Trust?
Did it.
Is that what? All right, nice.
Yep,
I'm almost a local. so we're super, that will be a super fun one as well. And then we'll round out the season. Our last one of the year is a gourmet cross-country ski trip up to Spar Lake. And that's one that we've done kind of an annual traditional, and that's going to be a cross-country ski trip.
What does that mean, gourmet? Oh, Phil is raising a finger. Phil, do you want to describe it?
I was happy to let Joel describe it. I was going to add something else after that, but go ahead, Joel.
Yeah, so that's going to be with one of our volunteers. Celeste is going to be leading that one. And so we'll strap on our skis, head out. The plan is to, you know, we'll enjoy a really nice meal while we're out. Maybe not as far of distance as some of our trips are, but, you know, the focus will be on, you know, fun, great food, and, you know, great camaraderie.
Well, you are really mixing it up this year, Friends of Scotchman Peak Wilderness. Those are a large variety, a big variety of interesting ways to be out in the wilderness in the winter. I love it.
Nice. Yeah. We do like to also mention that if you don't have any shoes, you know, snowshoes of your own, we do have some. So, you know, we don't want that to be a reason for people to not sign up. Again, they can go to our website, Friends of Scotchman's Peak, and go under our events area and get signed up.
That's great. Phil.
This will be our biggest season ever, winter season, hike season. I think if COVID taught us nothing else in the last 2 years, it is the value of getting out onto the landscape and doing hikes for physical health, mental health, for connecting to others in a safe way, that even with the lingering potential for COVID, the social distancing and the cold air knocked things down. So it's not a surprise that last year our winter hikes were as robust or more so than our summer hikes. And and this winter even more so.
Yeah, it's a great sanity saver to be able to get out in the winter, short days and not quite enough going on with outdoor activities. It's great that you're scheduling all of these. Mm-hmm. Great. Well, is that mostly the winter hikes you want to talk about? Because we've got events to talk about also.
Well, let's move on to events then.
All righty. Well, I see the first one, Sip and Shop. That's one of my favorites, Phil.
Yes, the Padre Winery has been very gracious for not only ourselves, but for the nonprofit community at large in Sandpoint, hosting their Sip and Shop events where folks come in and have a good time. They can enjoy wine or beer or the food from the menu and items in the gift store. And 10% of all the proceeds for that evening will come back in support of the cause. And the cause for January 5th, coming up real shortly here, is the Friends of Scotch and Peaks. So from 4 to 7 p.m., come on down, join us at the Padre Winery, learn a little bit more about our winter programs, sign up for a hike there, and have a little sip of red wine, or if you prefer a beer, and help support the Friends. It's a nice, easy way to do that.
And it's a great way to get together with your hiking friends who enjoy Scotchman Peak and just talk about everything, what you have done, what you plan to do. It's just a nice group and a lot of camaraderie. Really nice. A
couple other events in January too. I think Joel's going to talk to us about a special event we're partnering with Idaho Trails Association on in Coeur d'Alene.
Yeah, so we're going to be doing one we're aptly named Cycle Gives. So it's going to be in Coeur d'Alene. It's January 14th, 8:30 a.m. It's at Cycle Bar. And basically the, like Phil said, we're partnering with Idaho Trails Association and for their Cycle Bar is basically closing down the studio for that day, opening it up for our guests. So basically $25 gets you a bike seat. And then that money will go to the, you know, organizations that are out there helping maintain trails.
Is Cycle Bar this is how bad I am. Is Cycle Bar a bike shop?
It's a bike studio. It's like, yeah, think of like Peloton, you know.
Yes, okay, I got it.
So yeah, you know.
It's not a bar is what you're saying. It's not a bar. It's
not a bar, yes. You could probably get Gatorade, but not a bar.
All right, I get it.
Yeah, so a little sweat equity, you know. It's the 14th, so, you know, we've all had a few maybe extra cookies for Christmas, so it'll be a good, you know, when you do that New Year's resolution, this will be a way to keep it going by meeting, going to Cycle Bar, doing a ride, and the
I'll tell you what, January—that's the date. The middle of January, it is a low time, and it's a good time to think about kind of getting re-energized. So that's one to put on the calendar, I would say.
There you go.
Great way to celebrate our actual 18th anniversary. It was in 2005 on January 14th that we first got together, a group of folks concerned about the Scotchman Peaks to plot out its future. And so, what a great way, other than getting in shape and helping support a couple of great causes.
Phil, how many founders will still be present that might be able to join you on that night? You? It's pretty much you or not.
No, there's almost all of the folks who are in that room are still with us. A couple have passed away and one or two have moved, but there are about 25 people there. And all of the rest, at least 20 of them, are still in the area and somewhat active with both our cause and other causes.
You know, wow.
In a small community, there's only a limited number of people that really do things and move things. Now, that said, I'm scanning my head, the folks who are there, I'm not sure any of them are bicycling people, indoor bicycling people.
Yes, so. You know,
we have a very large footprint of friends in our region. We have, collectively total, we have about 10,800 friends of the Scotch and Peaks, folks who have signed up and said, yes, this is a great idea, send me your information, I support it. Of that 10,000, about 8,000 live within a 2.5-hour radius of the Scotchman's, from Spokane to Missoula to Kalispell and inward. So there's quite a few people in the area who might potentially come out.
Yeah, very nice. That sounds like a nice evening. Well, if you're not into cycling at the Cycle Bar, there will be a speaker, an author. Let's hear about him.
Yeah, January is a pretty exciting time. And so this year, and I'm going to come back to Bruce in a second, we've traditionally done the Wild and Scenic Film Festival the last 4 years to celebrate our anniversary. And this year we've moved it to March because they're not releasing the 2023 films until March. So it left this hole of what do we actually do to bring community together and celebrate our anniversary in January. Bruce Smith is an author who spoke at our 2017 State of the Scotchmans. He's a retired wildlife biologist, having spent a career with Montana Department of Fish, Wildlife and Parks, the U.S. Fish and Wildlife Service. He's a specialist in mountain goats and has a wonderful large coffee table style book out, Life on the Rocks. And he spoke to that in 2017. He also now in retirement has branched out and has started doing children's books. He's written the first two of a three-part series called The Legend Keepers. I've read the first two. They're really wonderful. The second one's just out. The first one garnered some awards. And so we're bringing him into our main communities, Libby, Thompson Falls, and Sandpoint, really doing two events in each. He's going to come in the afternoon and talk to school children or through the library system to families about his new book series that focuses in on mountain goats and climate change. Intended for a 5th, 6th, 7th, 8th grade audience, but really very enjoyable. I enjoyed them even as an adult reading them. And then in the evenings, we're going to shift to an adult-oriented presentation style, still working off the details right now, likely to involve beverages at each of the three locations. And he's going to focus in more on the climate change method message and the mountain goat message. He was part of a small group that this last summer did the first Montana statewide comprehensive study of mountain goats that's been done since the 1940s. And so he's going to be able to talk about that, the state of the mountain goats in our region, and really a fabulous speaker. So two opportunities in Sandpoint to come out and see him, Bonner County Library on the afternoon of Saturday, January 21st, and then late afternoon, early evening, at the Heartwood Center in the Grove Room to hear him talk about mountain goats.
Wonderful. You know, Phil, I remember his last visit here, and he's a very animated and entertaining and knowledgeable speaker. For those of you who have not heard him, it's really worth taking the time. He did a great job. That'll be a wonderful opportunity.
Yeah,
neat. Something to look forward to. And on to the scene. Did we talk about the scenic, Wild Scenic? You said it's been postponed.
I mentioned it briefly. It's a popular series across the country. They, in the past, had released their films January 1st, and we posted them here at the end of January or in February. Of course, with COVID the last 2 years, that meant we went to the first year an online event, and then last year a hybrid in-person and online event. And this year, they've pushed back the release date of their films to early March. So we're going to host it as an in-person event at the Panda Theater on Thursday, March 2nd. We don't have the final slate of films from them yet to choose, but like years past, it'll most likely be a collection of 7, 8, 9, 10 films, varying in lengths and in focus, but all related to the wild country we have, rivers and mountains and scenery and culture and activities and something for everybody in the mix. It's been exceedingly popular. We do it both to bring that message to the community and as a fundraiser, although we keep ticket prices pretty low, thankfully to our sponsors and to raffle ticket sales, but it'll be a fun time at the Panda Theater with raffle prizes, door prizes, great films, camaraderie, and of course the Panda, which is just a wonderful gem of things at Sandpoint.
I couldn't agree more. So nice that we're all getting back into the Panda, and that is always a great film festival. Very inspiring. Cool. Well, there's more. We're not done yet, listeners. Sledding at the Nagley Ranch. What about that one, guys?
Joel, you're up.
Yep. So that one, I'm just going through and identify my notes on that one. So that one's going to be January 7th. It's in the afternoon, 1:30 Mountain Time. And we're going to have, hot chocolate. We're going to do some snow painting and some sledding. So bring a sled, bring a friend, dress warm.
All right. Where are we going? Where is Nagley Ranch?
It's in Trout Creek.
All right. So that's a little drive from Sandpoint, but not too terribly far. Not for fun sledding.
Not for awesome sledding.
That's great. What should we know about the sledding? Is it crazy? or is it?
I think like a lot of things that we do, you'll have options.
All right.
I think there'll be a good beginner hill. There'll be an intermediate, and you know, hopefully there'll be a screamer hill. I'll have to check with Julie on the location.
That's good.
Very family oriented.
Very nice. Well, something for everyone. Well, as we're coming to an end, the end of a very interesting interview, what have I missed? Is there anything else we need to cover?
I think we wanted to talk a little bit about where everything's going. A lot of folks after 18 years wonder what's going to happen next, you know, what progress is being made. And, you know, this is where I often will say wilderness takes a long time. Congress acts very deliberately.
Yes.
The way to say slowly. And nobody has that crystal ball enough to know when and how they'll act. But we do know that they will respond to community support, provided that community support is broad-based enough and strong enough. And so we're continuing to build that. And we also know that legislation often looks at the big picture of things. And for lands-related issues, it's seldom that a single bill focuses in on just one thing, on just, say, a wilderness area. And so we're taking a landscape approach both in Idaho and in Montana that would include wilderness designation for the Scotchman Peaks, say, for instance, in North Idaho, along with other wilderness or conservation measures for other places, along with some form of certainty for other forms of outdoor recreation, including snowmobiles in the winter and motorized in the summer and mountain biking, something that will bring some certainty to the timber question and also to some of the tribal interests. So that's it's a big picture that will take time to put together. And we've been making some progress in talking to other stakeholders. And it's hard, again, to say exactly when things will come together, but I'm confident it won't be another 18 years. It'll be something much shorter, much more in line with our original vision of 3 to 5 years. I think that's a horizon line that's reasonable for us in North Idaho. And in Montana, we're putting together the same thing. The horizon line there is a little harder to predict. So as we make New Year's predictions at the beginning of the new year, I would hope that we'd see wilderness designation for the Scotchman Peaks in Idaho sometime between now and the end of this decade, and wilderness designation in Montana not much after that.
Well, what a great New Year's prediction, Phil, and partnering with other folks that love wilderness in many, many ways seems to make sense. So I just think that sounds great. I wish you the best. I wish the organization the best in moving forward toward preserving a beautiful area here in North Idaho. Yeah. Yeah. Good luck. Well, listeners, we're coming to an end of another wonderful Tuesday morning show, and I'll repeat that we've been joined by friends of Scotchman Peaks Wilderness, and our guest and sometime co-host has been Phil Huff, the executive director, and the new program manager, Joel Thompson. I want to thank you both for joining us and really informing us and telling us about many, many fun places we can be this winter and giving us a little inspiration for getting outside. Thank you both.
Thank you, Julie.
Thank you.